men. And then I want to turn over to St. John chapter 21. And I want to read one verse of scripture there. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And I believe that'd be all that we read this morning. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your house today. Lord, certainly there's people here today that's never been saved. God, I pray this will be that good hour, Lord, they'd trust you as their personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit would draw them, and they'd make that decision, Lord, to come and make you their personal Savior. Repent of their sins. Lord, let you wash them all away and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, for us that's been saved, that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I pray that we'd grasp this truth, Lord, that you want to make something out of each one of us. Lord, every one of us has different talents and different ways of doing things, but I believe, Lord, you'll use all of us if we'll let you. I pray, Lord, we wouldn't be a hindrance to the service in any way, we'd get ourselves out of the way. Lord, that we'd preach that of what you've laid on our heart. Lord, it comes straight from the Scripture, Lord, and whatever's accomplished today, that we wouldn't take any honor or credit, Lord, for anything that's done. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to turn back over to St. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17 for just a moment, and then we're going to go back to John chapter 21. The beginning of St. Mark here, the Bible makes it very clear that the disciples, and this was before they was disciples, and I want to back up just one verse here where he said, now as they walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And a lot of times I've heard that as people brought this verse out, that the whole reason that they thought that they the Lord related to them of being fishers of men was because they was fishermen there. But I don't believe that's what the Lord just had intent. He began to tell this same statement to all his disciples, and some were tax collectors, and some did other jobs, and some was fishermen. But he made the statement. He said, come and follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Let me say this today. There's only two kind of Christians in the world. Those that are following Jesus and those that ain't. Amen. If you're following the Lord, you'll catch somebody. Amen. And if you're not following the God of the Lord, you will not lead anybody to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't have the words to win people the Lord. You don't have the words to win people the Lord. But when we follow Jesus, he will help us lead people to him. Amen. Amen. I begin to think about these particular verses here when the Lord was trying to let them know that he wanted to make them something. He wanted to make them a fisher of men. Now whether you agree with me or not, this is just a plain fact. I'm not a great fisherman. I've had a few times, Brother James, where I did good. Amen. But I'm not a professional fisherman. Brother Darrell, I don't know a lot about fishing. Some are professional hunters. I don't know much about hunting. Amen. But I will say this. In what little bit I do know about fishing,
fishing, the more poles you get in the water, the better chance you got of catching them. Amen. When I fish with one pole, I seemingly catch less. When I line up about eight poles, I seem to catch more. Amen. 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 That just means the greater the pause, the greater the success. Y'all with me? Y'all agree with me on that? Amen. Your odds increase. Even if you don't catch a fish on seven poles, if one pole's catching something, amen. But if you got one pole in the water and they're not biting what's on that pole, you'll go home without catching anything. Amen. Amen. I've been there when we was... I've had so many poles strung out, and I've had two or three of them going at one time. I remember one particular time, amen, I was trying to teach Naomi and Ryan how to fish. Amen. And so we had three poles lined up, and I figured maybe when I usually fish with one pole, Brother Andy, I can usually handle it. And so I wasn't expecting all three to go off at one time, and I had them lined up, and I said, now Ryan, if you see that pole move, you let Daddy know. He was about five, and Naomi just walking around. I couldn't get her to keep the pole alone, Brother Brandon, but I said, you let Daddy know if that pole's moving. Well, she was a-playing, and I looked over, and her pole was just a-doing this. And then all of a sudden, Ryan said, Daddy, my pole's going. I looked down. All three of them was going. I was holding two poles, trying to catch them. All I said is this, there's three poles in the water, and we got three bites. We need more poles in the water. Amen. 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 I believe that a pastor ought to be trying to win people to the Lord. Amen. I do. I believe Sunday school teachers ought to be trying to win people to the Lord. I believe deacons ought to be trying to win people to the Lord. Amen. But I believe lay members and those that's been saved by God's grace, everybody ought to have a pole in the water so it'd have a better chance of catching something. Amen. Amen. He said he wanted to make us a fisher of men. And I was reminded here that after the Lord died, the Bible said in John chapter 21, after these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the sea Tiberias. And on this wise shewed he himself. I begin to look up the Sea of Tiberias. Most people don't even know where the Sea of Tiberias is. They don't even know what it means. Amen. But if you say the Sea of Galilee, everybody knows what you're talking about. Amen, Brother Matt. Well, the Sea of Tiberias was the Sea of Galilee. It was another name for it. It was the same sea. And I thought about this, Brother Andy. Why would Peter go down to the Sea of Tiberias, amen, to go fishing when the Lord had died? The Lord was gone. And then the Lord resurrected himself, and Peter knew he was alive, yet he decided to go fishing. Amen. And they said the reason that a lot of them call it the Sea of Tiberias, even though it was the Sea of Galilee, there was a little town beside the Sea of Galilee called Tiberias. And some of them would name it after that. And there were together Simon Peter, and that's Peter's, St. Peter, if you'd have it, Thomas called Didymus, which is just the mean of twin. He was called Thomas the Twin. Nathanael of Canaan, Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Didn't even mention their name. Amen. I won't stop there for just a minute. I don't really care if my name even gets mentioned when people talk about Welcome Grove. You might believe that or not. It really don't matter to me. I don't care if they say the pastor over there is Brother Jeff Clark. It don't matter to me, Brother Matt. My name's mentioned. As long as they know we love the Lord, people's being saved, that's the report we ought to want of our church. Amen. Do you know that's what you ought to have? The kind of attitude you ought to have? That if we catch somebody, it don't even matter if they say, yeah, Donald was there, Brother Mallory was there, Thomas was there, Don was there. There was two other fellas there. I can't even remember their name. It shouldn't offend us. Hey, man, if it was me and you, Brother Brandon, or me and you, Brother Tony, I don't care if they remember who I am. Hey, man, we're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to see souls saved. Amen. I said this the other night, and I'm going to make it real evident and clear. I want every one of you to take just a moment to look around. God, I want to sink this into your head until you get the realization of what I'm fixing to say is the truth. This church won't see as many people saved as we want to until we realize one thing, and that is when you get saved, you can't get saved again. That means if you're saved, we can't see you saved. Amen. How many people in here are saved? Raise your hand. Don't let them down. Look around. Y'all see many people sitting around without their hand up? There ain't many, is there? Maybe one, two this morning. You can let them down. That means if we had 100 people here this morning, we got a 2% chance, even if all 98 of us, amen, puts a pole in the water. Brother Randy, if the people that wouldn't raise their hand, they come in, he said, well, I'm praying you'll be saved. Brother Tony said, I'm praying you'll come to Sunday school and learn so you can be saved. And Daryl sang about salvation. And I preached about salvation. And the choir sang about salvation. And Brother Nick testified about salvation. Our chances of seeing somebody saved would still only be 2%. So how far down do you think our odds go when nobody talks to them about salvation when they come in the door? All of a sudden, one pole's been pulled out of water. You ain't feeling good, so you decide not to sing in the choir. Three people, and so we lose three poles. And then the Lord tells you to testify, and you don't testify if you pulled your pole out of water. Amen. Then the Lord tells you to go to the altar and pray for that person, and they come on your heart. And you say, well, Lord, it just ain't a good time. You pulled your pole out of water. Now our odds is like 0.799 or something. It's less than one. It's less than 0.5%. It's almost to the point you might as well not even think we're going to see anybody saved. Do you believe the Lord does the saving? Boy, that's a weak amen. We should have rattled the glass on that. Amen. The Lord is the one that does the saving, but He uses us as His tools to try to get people to Him so He can save them and clean them up. Amen. I heard a man say this one time, and I really liked it, Brother Mallory. I'm not a good cleaner. I've cleaned fish before. I ain't a good skiller and I ain't a good cleaner. I love fishing for trout because they're the easiest to clean. You take a knife and you stick it right in the bottom, run it down through there, open up, run your finger one time, and you throw it on ice and you're about done. Amen. Catfish got to nail the head to the board, cut it off, clean it out, gut it. I don't love catfish that much. Amen. But I remember what a preacher said one time, that all God did required of us was to catch them and God would clean them. Amen. Thank God today I got a father that'll clean them if I'll pull them in. Amen. These was professional fishermen. Do you know that? They knew how to catch fish. They wasn't doing too good on this night. The Bible said Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. You know what I really like? I ain't going to stay at some of these points long. It's just stuff the Lord showed me the other night. I like it when I say, well, I'm going to go fishing. And there's been a few times I said, well, I'm going to go put some flyers out. And Ryan said, well, Dad, I'm going to go with you. Hey, man. I remember one time here at Welcome Grove, I said, Saturday, I'm not telling you got to go with me, but I'm going to come. And we're going to pass out flyers in the community. Let people know we're up here and we love them. 17 people showed up. They never said nothing, but you might as well have said this is what they said. Hey, we're going with you. If you're going, we're going. Amen. And that's how church grows. It's for one person to have a desire to see souls saved. And everybody else gets on board with the same excitement. Amen. They said, we're going to go too. They caught nothing all night. You don't think they was discouraged, Brother Donald? They is discouraged. Whether you know it or not, we're in the night. Amen. We're living in a bad, wicked day where there's not much light shining. We're doing night fishing if you'd have it. And let me say this. It might be illegal to hunt at night, but it ain't illegal to fish at night. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I went for night fishing a few times, Brother Mallory. One in particular time I remember, I'll never forget. If you're not careful when you're night fishing, you'll fall asleep. Now, there's been some services I've wondered some of my members that fell asleep. I'll be preaching a few hollering amen and a couple sitting there, and they ain't moved in 20 minutes. And I don't know if they're asleep when their eyes open or not. Some of them I've heard snore, Brother Andy. I'm not making light of that. And I know some's on medicine and can't help it. God knows I wouldn't make fun of nobody doing that. What I'm trying to say and get a point across is you can't catch fish if you're sleeping. That gives them the upper hand. And the Bible said we should be alert and watching for our Redeemer draweth nigh. Amen. I remember, Brother Brandon, I went that night. I think it was one of the first times I'd ever went night fishing. And I didn't have a pole. I didn't go too prepared. About like some people coming to church without a Bible, looking around for one laying on a bench somewhere. You need to get you a rod and reel, get you some tackle, study it, figure it out so you can catch something. Amen. Thank God. Everybody ought to have a Bible, and you ought to know how to use it. Amen. And I showed up that night and he said, where's your fish pole, Jill? I said, I ain't got one, Stan. I couldn't find mine. He said, well, here, I'm going to let you use this one. I won't never forget, Brother James, sitting on the side of the boat. We ain't caught in 2 or 3 hours. And all of a sudden, I heard the water rustling. You ever heard that verse in the Bible where it said, and they was rustling on top of the mulberry trees. Amen. They knew the Holy Spirit was near. Amen. I was sitting on that boat and all of a sudden I heard this blah, 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 blah. And I looked over and I said, what in the world is that? Got me a little nervous. He said, that's the shed coming. He said, you hold on to that fishing mole, he said, because when the shed get here, the fish are going to be right there with them, feeding on them. And we're going to have our best chance of seeing somebody, the fish caught. Let me just say this. When people shouting and the Holy Spirit's moving, we're at our best chance of seeing somebody saved. Amen. You ain't going to have a drawing of the Holy Spirit till the Holy Spirit shows up. And that means every one's got to get a rod to water. That way if a shed come on the right side of the church, Brother Brandon, you, me, and Tony's over here, and we sort of letting it slide by, and they go by on the other side of the boat. Won't do us no good to have rods in the boat over here. The shed comes through over here. Won't do no good if all of our shouters sit over here if the Holy Spirit comes over here and you ain't willing to shout when it comes over here. I want both sides of the boat covered. If we're going to catch something, we got to watch both sides. Amen. Well, I heard the shed. Had the pole in the water, Brother Brandon. But I ain't getting no nibbles. And then all of a sudden, I didn't hear the moving of the water no more. So I thought the shed had done moved on. When you think surf's just about over sometime, that's when you snag one. And I had my pole laying on the side of the boat there, Brother Manning. I threw my leg up, had the pole sort of, my knee was holding it, leaning up against the boat, and I was doing that. And the next thing I remembered is not hearing no rushing the waters, kicking my legs up and throwing the pole over there, getting laid back and just about getting good. And the next thing I heard was, and I looked up, my pole was gone. All of a sudden they heard a commotion. Stan said, "You get one?" I said, "No, I just lost your pole." I could have had something. I wasn't ready, Brother Darrell. We've got to be ready when people come in. We can't come in one Sunday blowing out the seams and come in fired up and the next Sunday come dragging in because a dog got sick last night and then lost people show up and we ain't ready to reel them in. Amen. We need to be ready. Well, here's a good picture, ain't it? The Lord showed up. He said, "Hey, y'all casting on the wrong side. Y'all need to cast on the right side of the ship." What is the right side? I'm glad you asked. I got excited the other night. The Lord said, if you're going to catch something, you're going to have to pray right, preach right, and sing right, act right, and walk right. Amen. Testify right. Amen. There's a wrong way of doing things. There's a right way of doing things. If we do it the way God said, we'll catch something. Amen. The Lord said, cast your net on the right side. And then all of a sudden, listen to this. This is the part I want to get in. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, a lot of you don't know, but that was John. John. He saith unto Peter, he said, "It's the Lord." I don't know how many times I've been in meeting here. I've only got set beside Mallory a few times, but I could see him crying doing that right there and look at him, just smiling and shake his head. And I could almost lean over and say, "Brother Mallory, it's the Lord." He just showed up. I don't know how many times Brother Randy or Brother Troy or another visiting preacher has been sitting over here and lean over and say, "He's here." You feel him? Boy, that's good. Boy, the choir's singing, "Holy Spirit." I don't know how many times I've been here and seen somebody come walking by, tears coming down their face, and they go to the altar, and the first thing starts coming to mind is, "Well, the Lord showed up. He's here. There's a moving going on." You know what he did when he told him the Lord was there? The Bible said, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisherman's coat into him. I looked that up. I wanted to study on fisherman's coat. And I'm just going to have to tell you real quick what I believe. When I looked it up, it said it was a tunic, a top coat. Said when he said he was naked, he wasn't completely naked, but he was in his undergarments. That a tunic was a garment that went over your undergarments. And I'm not trying to be ugly when I say this, but you all know what I'm talking about with undergarments. A t-shirt would be an undergarment. And that's as far as I'll go with that one. And there's some more undergarments. This coat and these pair of breeches has covered my undergarments. Amen. And he heard it was the Lord. All of a sudden, he's out there with not many clothes on. He threw his coat on. The Lord caught him without his fisherman's coat on. When I looked it up, it said this coat was not necessarily a Pacific coat for fishermen. But I believe that the Bible said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Amen. And even though Webster said it wasn't a fisherman's coat, and even though some of my commentary brethren didn't say it was a fisherman's coat, and even though history couldn't prove it was a fisherman's coat, the Lord said in His Word that He put on His fisher's coat. Amen. I don't know if it was a tunic or not, but it was Peter's fisherman's coat. Amen. That's the truth. I don't care if you believe it or not. You go home, look it up, come back and say, Brother Jeff, now the definition says that wasn't necessarily a fisherman's coat. That means you're taking man's word over God's word. Amen. He said it was his fisher's coat. You notice they didn't catch nothing before he put on his fisher's coat, but after he put it on, he caught something. I'm about done. I believe sometimes we come in, we ain't even got our fisher's coat on. And then after the Lord shows up, we get all excited and go, ooh, we might see somebody saved now. And we slide our fisherman's coat on. Don't want to get caught without our fisherman's coat on, like Peter did. I'll be the first one to tell you there's been times I've showed up at church and I was ready to preach Brother Thomas and I was ready to go to meet. But I really wasn't thinking I was going to see nobody saved. You get discouraged, ain't seen nobody saved in a few months. I left my fisherman's coat or lay your fisherman's coat on you, the bench or wherever you've left it. And then all of a sudden, service gets real good and people start going to the altar and I've slid my fisherman's coat. We're going to see somebody saved this morning. Praise the Lord. And then you know what happened, Brother Nick? Somebody reels one in. And then I ain't as excited. So I thought I was going to be when I saw somebody saved. Because I wasn't part of it. Now, you can believe this if you want to. Brother Matt, if you go deep sea fishing and you come back and you catch a 50-pounder, I'm going to be excited, but not as excited as if I'd have got my reel together and went with you. Help reel it in. I really liked the video of Naomi catching them fish and Ryan. The whole time I was thinking, I wish that was me. I mean, that's my own kids. I didn't go out on the boat and take a nauseated pill and still almost got sick to get out there not catching nothing. I wanted to catch something, Brother Randy. And every time Naomi catch something, they'd say, yeah, I think that's the biggest one today. I think that's the biggest one the other day. And then one time she said, Dad, I'm going to have to go inside. And I thought, I can't do my daughter like that. But I was eyeing that spot. I wanted to go over there so bad and get in her spot while she went down to the bottom of the boat for a few minutes. Amen. I ain't going to lie to you. I want to catch something. Y'all want to catch something. Amen. If you've been saved, y'all want to catch your friends and family. Amen. Is there somebody here that really don't have a desire to see your friends and family saved? Yes, sir. Something's wrong in your spiritual walk if you don't want to see people saved. So in 2013, this is what I want you to do. Get your fisherman's coat on every day. Well, tomorrow's Monday. I ain't going to church tomorrow. No, but there's a lot of fish at your workplace. Somebody might say, well, I'm retired. A lot of fish swimming around Martins, ain't there, Brother Donald? Amen. The Bible said if we'd go out and compel them to come in, He said that my house may be filled. Let me just point this out real quick. And I was thinking about this morning. Never thought about this before, but every time I've mentioned that verse, the first thing that came to my mind, Brother Brandon, was this, that I need to go out and invite people to come in, do the best I can to take away every excuse that they would come to Welcome Grove and fill this church so I could help fill it up. Seen that a little different this morning. There ain't but one house. Jesus said, in my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He didn't say go compel them to come in that you could fill your house or Welcome Grove. I know this is His house, but He only has one house. I believe if you'd really want to get down to it, this is a room to His house. Every church is a room. But if we'll go out and compel them to come in His house, that His house might be filled. That's why we're inviting them to come. We want them to go to heaven.
I want to come get a verse of song. And while they're doing that, I want to throw a couple things at you and I'm done. If you're a talker, the Bible said this, he said, to whom much is given, much is required. If you can talk about ponies and dogs and your house and sowing and your job and the trip you're going on and you're a talker and you talk all day, every day, can't hardly ever be quiet, God's going to hold you accountable if you don't ever talk about him. He give you that voice that rattles like a motor and don't never stop so you could talk about him, not everything else. Amen. I'm going to say me now. I talk probably more than anybody in here. And if I don't talk about him, I'm wasting the talent God give me. And I'll tell you how I know it's a talent, Brother Nick. I can't play the guitar, can't play the bass, can't play the piano. It's my hand. Try to play the drums, couldn't get my foot to tap at the same time my hand was hit. Couldn't play the drums. You know why I can play a harmonica? All I got to do is use my mouth. It's the only thing on me that works. But I ought to use it for the Lord. Amen. Use what God gives you for the Lord. Amen. So if you're here and you're a good cook, don't just make a cake on a shower and a wedding. Don't just make a cake because your sister's having a birthday. Why don't you make your next door neighbor a cake that her husband died? So maybe y'all become friends. You can lead her to the Lord. He says, is that biblical? That widow maker had made a cake for the Lord, didn't she? Praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you, it gets me excited to know that no matter what you do, he wants us to do it for him. Amen. You know what? One of the best things that anybody has said about me was said the other night on the I don't know if it was the going out of the year or the coming in. And I'm about done. Been here almost 10 years and I ain't even been able to get John Rape here 10 times. I'm trying. I'm reeling. Throwing out a bunch of rods. I put Naomi on him. I put Ryan on him. I put all of us on him. One day I put Marty on him. She said, I just don't think I can ask him. I said, yes you can. Every time you come to church you got something to say. Surely you can say something to John for me. So she said, I did. I went home, I said something to him. I'm trying to put everybody else on him I can. And this took 10 years, but you know what he said the other night, Brother Mallory? Sister Molly said, oh, you should have been down there and heard your preacher. He said, Brother Jeff ain't my preacher. He's my friend. I'm close. I'm getting there. You ain't going to get them in. You got to make them. I'll tell you something. A deer or a fish or anything, if you can get him to come close to you, a dog, I'd be out in the yard and chase them all day long. You won't never catch them. But you get your little treat and say, come here. Come here. You can get him trust you enough and get some close, I can catch any dog. Amen. Just so you know, the Bible said lost people's dogs. It's hard to catch a dog if you ain't never tried to catch one. You might even think if you've gotten older in age that you ain't got nothing to offer. Abraham was running to meet his guest at 100. There's another man in the Bible, I can't remember his name, it was on the tip of my tongue, but anyway, David needed somebody and he was one of the oldest men around. He said, David, I'll do it. I'll do it, David. He was always wanting to help. Don't let age hinder you. Kids, don't say, well, I'm too young to do that. Your best friend at school, it's depending on you. And just so you know it, the other night when Brother Randy bragged on Sean, he can tell you I said this. He was going outside and somebody said, that make you feel good? He said, he just smiled. They said, Brother Randy feels that way. He said, I bet your mama's really proud too. She just smiled. I said, I want you to know your preacher's proud of you. That he's not an embarrassment for the church, but that he's out there living a life before his friends. Now you got to add a testimony to it. You got to talk to them and get them to come in, Sean, to see that you're different from them. Get your pole in the water. The best feeling I've ever had, I'm going to share one time and I reeled somebody in and I'm done. I was working at Print Pack, Thomas, and one of my best friends, he still, when I run into him now, that's all he talks about. When I run to his daddy, if I preach revival anywhere of an hour around, he hears about it, he'll come in one night. And usually at the end of the service, he said, "Can I say something?" And he'll testify about how I reeled his son in. There's a few of them like that. Ain't many, ain't thousands of people. There's a couple of them that can do that, brother. And I went one night, and a good friend of mine, Brother Nick, he said, "Brother Jeff, I want to go pray." And most times somebody says that, you say, "Well, yeah, I have to work. We'll meet again and pray." He goes, "No, I mean, get serious." And, I mean, you know how it is. Then when they say, "Get serious," I'm preaching, but I'm not going, "All right. I mean, what do you mean by serious?" I mean, he said, "I want to go to Tennessee and get up on the mountain, get close to God." Well, I said, "Well, you tell me when you want to go." "This weekend." He went, didn't even want a weekend to go by. And I said, "Okay." So that was like Monday. Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by, and Thursday, Brother Darrell, one of my buddies come back here and he's talking. He said, "What are you going to do this weekend?" I said, "I'm going to Tennessee." "What are you going to Tennessee for?" "To pray." "You're going to drive all the way to Tennessee to pray?" I said, "Yeah." So somebody called, "Want me to go pray?" I said, "I'm going to go pray." And then just that quick, Thomas, the Lord said, "You ought to ask him if he wants to go with you." I'll never forget it. I never thought he would have went, Brother Donald. I said, "Hey, you ought to go with us. It's going to be fun. We're going to just drive up there, climb way up the mountain, pray, and come back home." Well, I've heard no so many times. "Brother Nick, I ain't doing that. I got other things this week, you know." And you know what happened on this day? "I think I will." My heart about stopped beating. All day, Thursday and Friday, I was walking around going, "I'm fixing to catch something." You can feel it. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, there ought to be an excitement when you think you're about to get one of your friends to the Lord. I mean, I was bubbling like I was about to get married. Amen. Well, my best friend Friday called me. He said, "You ready to go tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I got some good news." He said, "What?" I said, "Matt's going with us." Well, he wasn't as excited as me. He thought it was going to be like a friend thing, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Brother Dombey goes, "Well, I just want to be me and you." "Oh, good now. Oh, good." So there goes the devil fighting already. I said, "I felt like the Lord told me to ask him. And I don't know that he's saved. I don't believe he is." I said, "He's excited about going. I've been excited. No way I'm telling him he ain't going." And he goes, "Well, fine. Come on. All the way up there. I'm making this quick. Matt didn't say a thing. Me and Terry talked. I won't say like a husband and wife, but some husband and wives drive 8 hours and won't say nothing. But we talked about everything you could talk about. What we've sold, what we want to sell, not seeing one as much as we was working together, then we wasn't, just so much. He didn't say nothing. He sat back and we talked about the Lord so much, what was going to do. We got up there and prayed. I'll never forget when we got up there, it was raining. And I started to get out and he said, "You going to get your Bible out?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's raining." I said, "I'm just going to have to cover up." I said, "I want to read some scripture while I'm up on the mountain. I ain't never got to do this." And I said, "Well, I'm up here. I'm planning on reading a few scriptures, and I'm going to pray." So I remember getting up there. I don't know how long I prayed, but I prayed, had myself covered up, Brother Darrell. I'd look at a few scriptures with a flashlight, then I'd cover up and pray. And after a few minutes, it stopped raining. And I laid my Bible up on a picnic table way up there on the top place. And I went off and prayed, Brother Donald. When I came back, I think I've shared this before, I know here. I came back and the wind was blowing and my Bible was going. And I'd been praying about something about 9 months. And all of a sudden, I was going towards the picnic table and there's a page going. Just flapping in the wind. And I laid it down, just like that, just laid it down. And my answer was in the first verse of the first chapter on the page. Usually that's where I start reading so I get the whole thing. And I read it. And it was talking about gathering in grapes. Now I got real excited, you know, and I didn't know if it was talking about mad or what. I was just excited to answer the question I've been praying about.
got back in the car, rode all the way back. Matt has not said nothing except, hey, how y'all doing? Got in the car, didn't talk all the way up, didn't get out to pray. We was up there probably 3 hours. He sat in the car the whole 3 hours. Rode all the way back, so 7 hours, and all I've heard is, hey, how y'all doing? He went to go get out, Brother Nick, and the Lord said, y'all asked me, wants to come to church with you in the morning. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just knew it was going to be no again, Brother Tony, but I said, Lord, it's too late. He'll never go. I don't want to be pushy. He went with me this weekend. He didn't get up. He didn't pray. He didn't want to talk. I mean, it ain't went good, Lord. This just ain't going to go good. You know, we think we know more than the Lord. He said, yes, you better ask him. He got out. He got about 10 feet away from the car. I said, Matt. He said, yeah. I said, won't you just come to church in the morning? I think I will. I'll see you in the morning. Boy, and I was standing there. I think Daryl was there. He may remember, he may not, but I was on the front bench. Lonnie preached, and I was sitting there. I started praying, had my face covered. I was like, oh, God, please, it's your will. Just touch him. You know what he needs, Lord. And then all of a sudden, one of the few times in my life, Brother James, I was praying like that, and somebody grabbed a hold of my arm. And I looked up, and he had tears running down his face. He said, will you pray with me? I need to be saved. Will you pray with me? I need to be saved. Yeah, I set the hook. And we went, we prayed, and the Lord did the cleaning. And he still goes to church. And he still loves the Lord. I said all that to say this. I don't want nothing said about anything that I did. You heard what I said, didn't you? Every time the Lord told me to ask him. Every time the Lord said do this. Every time the Lord said do that. And guess what? He got saved. If you'll follow the Lord, you'll see people saved. We might not see thousands, but I'll tell you what the Bible said when we rise to our feet. This is scripture. You ready? Some 30. Some 60. Some 100-fold. I'd like to, about 2 or 3 of us get a hold of about 30 this year. And we can if we get excited about the Lord. Do you have your fisherman's coat on? And do you even talk to anybody about the Lord during the week? Are you even trying to catch anybody? Think about it hard. Now, I didn't ask you if you're studying your Bible or if you think you're living right or nothing like that. I'm asking you, are you witnessing for the Lord the best you can? There's a reason you're still here. If you're 81, God could have took you out of here. There's a reason you're still here. There's somebody you need to be talking to about the Lord or he would have took you out. The whole purpose that God had man was so we could win others to him. I believe that with all my heart. Brother Nick, whatever verse of song's on your heart. How about, I know I went probably a little longer than I normally do. I'll make up for it now if the Lord will let me. But we need to put our fisherman's coat on. We need to go catch our loved ones, our friends, families, son, daughter, friends, co-workers, those at church who's never been saved. A best friend, a girlfriend, a neighbor, somebody walks in the doors of the church. Do we have our pole and the water? Have we cast our net out? Are we helping pull? Are we helping pull? You know that next verse after that said there's a little ship that had to help pull the net. They caught so many. You know, I've thought, Brother Mallory, several times about that. It don't take a big church or a big family or a big Christian. We just need some little churches, some little Christians, some little bitty families that love the Lord to grab a hold of the net and help pull. You know what I like about that is the net's strong enough it said it didn't break. It's going to catch everybody. And the only fish that it don't catch, I've thought about this all week, it's just been tearing me up. It's the little bitty fish that's not ready to be caught.
they swim through that little hole. They just swim through and they get out. But everything else is big enough to be caught. You know what I feel like we ought to do? We ought to every time come through the church with a net. We ought to be catching everything that's catchable. And the only thing we ought to be missing, some of these little babies, little kids, they ain't old enough yet to get in the net. But those that are old enough, and the net comes by, you ought to get in there. You ought to swim in the net. Come on, let's sing another verse while these finish praying. Are you fishing? It's fun to fish. It's fun to catch people for the Lord. God, have you willing way.